According to the International Committee of the Red Cross, those protections can be lost if combatants use them to store weapons or hide fighters.
Hamas denies Israeli claims that it has bases beneath medical facilities, but the IDF has released footage it says shows a so-called terror tunnel 20 meters below one hospital.
Underneath the hospital, in the basement, we found a Hamas command and control center, suicide bomb vests, grenades, AK-47 assault rifles, explosive devices, RPGs and other weapons, computers, money, etc. And we also found signs that indicate that Hamas held hostages here. This is currently under our investigation, but we also have intelligence that verifies it.
Now, some 200 people have demonstrated near the UN's Jerusalem headquarters to call on it to do more to assist with the release of hostages kidnapped by Hamas. Now, around 240 were taken on October the 7th, with four women released so far. While their loved ones desperately wait for news, Hamas is using them as bargaining chips, trying to secure ceasefires or the release of their own people held by Israel. Lauren Berstecker tells us more.
Standing outside the UN headquarters in Jerusalem, families of hostages captured by Hamas could hardly contain their emotions. Holding pictures of their loved ones, including many teenagers and children, they called on the international body to do more, to work for their release.
I just came to ask, you know, for the UN to help us. To we have my kid is there 38 days. And another 238 people, babies, kids, teenagers, adults, sick men, and no one knows what's going on with them.
Of more than 240 hostages taken by Hamas, only four have so far been released, and ongoing negotiations in Qatar have made little headway in recent weeks. A lack of information on the hostages' well-being has also left many families unsure of whether their relatives are still alive. The UN, meanwhile, has repeatedly called on Hamas to release the prisoners without conditions, but in practice, the international body holds little sway over the negotiations.
From the day one, from the 7th October, the Secretary General has been constantly and consistently reiterating that we're calling for the release of hostages immediately and unconditionally.
The hostages represent a rare bargaining chip for Hamas, which says it recently offered to release up to 70 captives in exchange for a five-day ceasefire in Gaza. The deal was reportedly rejected by Israeli negotiators, fueling accusations the government was prioritizing its military campaign over efforts to free the hostages.
A meeting of the European Union's 27 foreign affairs ministers has yielded a united statement on the war in Gaza following weeks of often contrasting statements read out by the EU Foreign Affairs Chief, Josep Borrell. It condemned the actions of Hamas while urging restraint from Israel in order to reduce the already large number of civilian casualties.
We ask for an immediate pause. I'm saying that in plural. We condemn the use by Hamas of people at hospitals as shields, but also we express our concern for the dire situation of the hospitals that are being heavily affected by the bombing.
We're now going to bring you some footage that we've just recently received of President Lula da Silva personally welcoming back home some 32 Brazilians back to the capital city who managed to escape Gaza via the Rafah crossing into Egypt. This exit only available to foreign nationals or the gravely ill, while the majority of the 2.3 million people are trapped inside the enclave. Now, Lula has been particularly critical of Israel, saying that in killing innocent civilians, its actions are as bad as the original act of terrorism by Hamas. Well, the main fighting has been taking place inside Gaza, of course. A second front is also opened at Israel's northern border with Lebanon as the IDF clashes with Iran-aligned Hezbollah forces. News24's Rawat Taha joined us earlier from Lebanon, where he said Israel has been massively increasing its bombardments in recent days.
One thing to keep in mind that in the past few days, we saw that the retaliation from the Israeli side was going at a much larger scale. We saw airstrikes that were 40 kilometers deep inside southern Lebanon, even outside of the area where the UNIFIL mandate for peacekeeping forces is. We saw also the attack on a number of vehicles, including civilians as well. So there is some kind of a feeling in Lebanon, especially among governmental officials, among army officials, and even among people affiliated with Hezbollah, that for now, or at least over the past 48 hours, Hezbollah did not change much of the rules of engagement that it was actually working along since October 7, while the Israeli side has maximized their retaliation attempts to a different kind of retaliation attacks. So there is a sense of feeling that over the past few days, Israel was the one that is increasing the tension on the border. This
is the first time that the Foreign Secretary will serve in the House of Lords and not in the Commons since the 1980s. Cameron quit as Prime Minister in 2016 after 6 years in charge, resigning the day after voters opted to leave the European Union as part of the controversial Brexit vote, a referendum he had himself called, confident that the country would vote to stay.
Three Indian cities are among the top 10 most polluted in the world, the capital New Delhi, Mumbai and Kolkata all making the list following the festival of Diwali. This after the use of firecrackers, despite bans enforced. The Delhi government, meanwhile, says schools which were closed last week would remain shut and a construction ban in place would be maintained. For more on this story, here's our correspondent Navadita Kumari reporting from New Delhi.
Despite a ban imposed by the Supreme Court 3 years ago, all night long last night we heard firecrackers bursting almost non-stop, and as a result you can see the skies are still very full of a thick blanket of hazardous toxic air. But this morning it was the worst. What we see now is 50% better than how it was this morning. Of course, every year Delhi appears regularly on the most polluted cities in the world, and we have seen that despite government's other measures like stopping construction workers or construction work, the pollution level hasn't improved, and it has a real tangible effect and impact on people. Like, you feel really trouble in breathing and eyes are irritating all the time. You have burning nose. People all around you are coughing. So this is the impact on healthy people. Like, you know, most of us, but the impacts are even worse on people with respiratory diseases and small children. For us who have been living in Delhi for many years, we can absolutely see the difference. Year by year, the quality has been deteriorating and it has now become new normal. But you can never get used to this kind of toxic air. You cannot breathe properly or comfortably. Even just breathing feels like you are putting on so much effort, and it's like a heavy duty work.
Navadita Kumari reporting there from New Delhi. That's it from me. Thank you very much for watching. Time now for French Connections, our weekly look at the intricacies of life here in France with Solange Mougin. Solange, great to see you as always. This week you're focusing on an emblem of French culture, the pastry.
Yeah, we all need a little bit of sweetness with the world as it is today. So I brought us some treats, Delano, to taste at the end of the show. But first, let's talk about their creator. Nina Metayer, she received in October 2023 the honor of Best Pastry Chef in the World, discerned by the International